We're live, we're local, and we're everywhere with you on the iHeartRadio app. Now it is more important than ever to stay connected to your world and connected to your favorite radio station. Of course, I'm talking about Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know, with everything going on out there because of the pandemic, there's a lot of confusion. There are conflicting stories about the number of cases, what states are doing, the debate over if you should wear a mask or not. Well, we're going to give it to you straight here. And we start every day with Glenn Beck and then Rush, Sean, myself, and Dave Ramsey. So we invite you to stay with us each and every day here on the Rod Arquette Show and with Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Now, coming up a little bit later on, we've got some great Listen Back Friday segments for you. First of all, we're going to replay an interview we did earlier this week with Jenny Howe. Jenny is a local therapist. She is a mental health consultant. She wrote a terrific column about overcoming fear of uncertainty, and we're going to play that back for you because I think there's some very important information that Jenny had, and we want to share that with you again. And then, of course, everybody is pointing, you know, if the U.S. would have done what South Korea had done when this thing first surfaced, we could have flattened the curve and not be in the situation we're in right now. Well, we'll get into that as well, so I invite you to listen to that coming up, starting at the bottom of the hour. But right now, it's interesting. San Francisco, California today, guess what they did? If you hadn't heard this as of yet, a couple of years ago, they imposed a plastic bag ban. Basically, what it said is you can't use plastic bags anymore. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, they've reversed that ban because they've realized the reusable bags carry more germs than anything else, and we don't want that going on, right? Well, joining us on our newsmaker line to talk about that is Ed Reng. Ed, of course, a senior fellow with the Center for American Greatness. Ed, great to have you on the show this afternoon. Is this going to revive the heated debate over plastic bag bans in various communities around the country, Ed?
Well, it already has in some respects. There are municipalities now that are requiring, for example, the baggers at grocery stores are not bagging groceries in reusable bags and are asking the customers to do it for them because they don't want to touch them. So,
oh, wow.
You know, the kinds of precautions that we have to take nowadays really do make it really problematic to be reusing these bags. You can set them down and pick up things that are on the floor of a bus or a subway car. You can also, of course, just have stuff inside them that can fester, can stay on. The health department in New York City actually requires people, or it recommends, that if you're going to use reusable bags, and this was before the COVID-19 pandemic, they have on their website the Smart Choice Advice, so-called Smart Choice Advice for reusable grocery bags, where they expect you to wash and dry them after every use, store them in a cool, dry place, make sure you wash out the inside and the outside. Nobody's going to do this.
No, they aren't going to do it, Ed. Ed, if you don't mind, would you take us back to about 5 or 6 years ago? I think it was California that was the first state legislature to enact this plastic bag ban. Why did they do it, and how were they able to achieve it, Ed?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that plastic bags are considered exemplary of the whole, you know, wasteful society that we live in and the problems with environmental degradation. I think that the ocean marine gyre, the great Pacific gyre, which is actually a couple of concentrations of plastic waste in the oceans, that became a very big talking point for environmentalists, and it is a problem. There's no question about that. But the reality of these examples of plastic pollution were used to do something that really makes very little of, if any, contribution to the plastic pollution that they're concerned about. So it was a way, I think, more of educating the population, you know, educating people to try to reject the throwaway society and to try to start to reuse things. But every fact you look at surrounding these plastic bags is contradicting the environment, supposedly environmentally inspired objectives that they were pursuing when they passed this legislation. It was actually in 2014. And they got the grocery stores to agree to it and to not fight the legislation with their lobbyists or with a referendum by saying that the grocery stores themselves could keep the mandatory 10 cents per bag. And so that was several hundred million dollars that just, you know, overnight got pumped into the California's grocery industry. So that kind of bribed the grocers to not fight this legislation.
But, Ed, isn't it true? I remember when this started, and we've had it happen here in the state of Utah as well, opponents to these bans were saying, do you realize these reusable bags are carrying a lot more germs than the plastic bags themselves? And no one listened to that argument. By the sounds of it, they're starting to listen to it now.
Well, sometimes it takes time, and they certainly are listening to it now. And, you know, it was always a problem because when, you know, for example, the smart use of these bags says, but be sure, even though you're using your reusable plastic bag, to put all of your groceries that are fresh produce or meat products, put them in separate bags inside the bag so you don't contaminate the inside of the bag. So there was always an awareness of this, and there was always these workarounds you had to pursue. And again, very few people would do any of that.
Ed, where is this going to lead now on this debate and these communities consider using more and more or banning plastic bags? I know we have a couple of them here in Utah that do it now. Do you think this will put an end to it for a little while?
Well, ideally it would put an end to it forever because the environmentalist arguments are strong against doing something like this. A reusable plastic bag, according, and these are reputable studies coming out of the Department of the Environment in the United Kingdom and, you know, reputable universities, mm-hmm. they look at the mass and they do it in terms of climate footprint. But even if you're not concerned per se about the climate footprint, it's a useful way of seeing how much went into making something. And these bags have 11 to 14 times as typically as much mass, plastic mass, as a disposable plastic bag. They're not just bigger and thicker. They're 10 times bigger and thicker, and nobody uses them 10 times. So just to break even, you'd have to reuse these bags 10 or more times. And nobody does that. The other thing that you have to understand is we're trying to set an example to the world. And as it turns out, only about 1.5% of the ocean plastic that's, you know, discarded in the ocean comes from America. It's pouring out of rivers in Asia and Africa. All of the big cities like Lagos in Africa and the big cities in the developing parts of Asia. It's just rivers of plastic are pouring into the oceans, and these nations like Indonesia, Nigeria, they can't afford to recycle everything, but they can afford to build modern landfills. It's much cheaper, and that's the example we should be setting to the rest of the world.
On our Newsmaker line, he is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness, Ed Ring, talking about the plastic bag recycling scam that's taking place in this country. All right, when we come back, we're going to deviate a little bit from our coronavirus coverage, and we're going to talk about what's happening down at Lake Mead. It's a pretty amazing story, and you'll want to hear it coming up next on the Rod Arquette Show in Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know. Here's Abby now with a news update.